Hello, I'm Natalie Ross, and I'm bringing you the Self-Care Club podcast. This show will be coming to you 3 days a week, and this will be its own separate show, separate from Dream Freedom Beauty, but I wanted to share a pilot episode with you here on the Dream Freedom Beauty feed. Self-care is for everybody, and it's for every day. Self-Care Club is an inclusive space where we're sharing diverse approaches to self-care in the modern world. You don't expect to eat one meal and be full for a month. It's the same way with self-care. When you practice self-care, you can come at life from a place where your cup runneth over and you are able to truly share with and nourish others with all of your amazing gifts that you have to give the world. This is the pilot episode, and this is a whole new show, and I'm so excited to bring it to you. This show is for you, it's for me, it's for us, it's for the collective, so let me know what you liked, what you didn't like, and how I can better serve you through this free media resource. And I want to thank all the many sponsors who made this show possible, and if you're interested in becoming a sponsor, you will find out more at the end of the show. Until then, sit back and enjoy this pilot episode with our special guest, Erin Rivera Merriman from Active Culture Family and from the Starseed Survival Guide podcast. Today, we are welcoming Erin Rivera Merriman to the show. Hi, Erin. Welcome.
Hi, Natalie.
And for guests who have not come into Erin Rivera Merriman's life before, who don't know who she is, I'm going to share with you. She is an esoteric women's health and plant spirit medicine practitioner, and as the founder of Bridge Temple Nature Hospital and the Medicine Mandala Green Magic Apprenticeship, she works professionally with sacred plant medicines for communication, relationship, sustainability, and liberation. Erin, can you share with us what's been capturing your attention lately? What's been captivating you?
lots of things, but I bought a deep freeze, which is something that I wanted to do for a really long time, and I was way too excited about it, and I am still way too excited about it. So I'm thinking really differently about food and the idea of preparedness, that I always have really, really nourishing food available, and there's no excuse to eat fast food because the deep freeze is my new fast food source. And I also was recently at a children's birthday party where I was turned on to the book Goodnight Stories for Rebel Girls. And it's a really amazing book about women revolutionaries, and all of their stories are told in this really accessible way so young kids can understand the significance of the amazing things that women have done when they perceived that the authorities and the powers that be are corrupt, and they go outside of the law to do the right thing. That's really exciting and inspiring, and also kind of invites me to step up and do what's right, really, like, maybe at all costs, you know?
Wow, that sounds edgy and definitely very intriguing. What's the name of that book again?
Goodnight Stories for Rebel Girls.
Awesome, awesome. And thanks for sharing that. And I'm wondering, can you share a story with us of what your life looked like and felt like before you had a really solid self-care practice?
Yes. I developed a chronic illness at the age of 16 that was at that time undiagnosed. So I was exploring self-care practices from a really early age, but I wasn't really finding ones that worked. So there was sort of a desperate, frustrated energy to it all. And I would periodically kind of give up and just kind of be like, screw it. I'm just going to be a famous artist and eat cookies. And so until that got too uncomfortable, and I would try again with maybe I just need to do this practice longer or what have you. So I was living in New York City in Bed-Stuy in a little apartment with my best friend, and we would just, basically make art until we couldn't withstand our sugar cravings anymore, and then get on the train for an hour to go to the health food store in the West Village called Lifetime, that had a vegan bakery, and get vegan cake and vegan cookies and vegan gummy bears, and spend all of our money on this like vegan junk food. And I always had a UTI, I always had a yeast infection, and I was always super irritable. Just I felt like I was going to explode inside all the time, was always really frustrated. And, she would always say, "You're so angry. You're so angry." And I was like, "I'm not angry. I don't know what you're talking about. I'm just frustrated." But, I think I was angry too. I just didn't know really what that word meant.
Yeah, I think that can happen to a lot of people for sure, for sure. And so, what happened that got you started with giving yourself self-care? What was the impetus or trigger that really kind of took you to the next level?
Well, it was always physical pain and trying to find solutions for physical pain. So, as I was saying, even in high school, I got my job at the mall, and the first thing that I did with my first paycheck was get a huge tattoo on my back. And then all the money that I ever made after that was spent going to Sweat Lodge and Power Animal Journeys and yoga and meditation, basically whatever my small town or the surrounding towns had to offer, being like, well, maybe this will help. Well, maybe this will help.
And what were you thinking and feeling during that time?
I was raised to believe that you really need a lot of money to survive and a lot of pressure to excel and distinguish yourself from other people so that you could make enough money to survive. So I was really just thinking about how does one make a lot of money as an artist, and trying to get art shows and random things, just whatever I thought as a teenager you did. And then I'm a quadruple Aries, so emotional mastery has been like the struggle of my life. So at that time, I was very, very consumed with my inner emotional process and longing, like love longing. So I think, either trying to be a famous artist, which was also to like prove my worth to other people, or else trying to find love and like amongst people that it's probably not a good idea to like look for love amongst. I really wanted to date the singer of my favorite band always growing up. And, typically those people just want to make their music.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was not a fun it was not a fun time in my life, but it was a part of my story, so yeah, it is an important step.
Right. Those things that we think are important end up not being so important once you realize, like, oh, wait, actually, I don't have to try so hard to be this thing or do this thing.
Oh yeah, or the thing that you're trying to do might have nothing to do with why you're here.
Right, exactly. So, can you tell us a story of the powerful transformations or accomplishments that self-care has allowed you to experience that you otherwise wouldn't have been able to experience?
Yes. I'm someone who has said in the past, I will never fly on an airplane again, because it's really hard for my fibromyalgia to travel and be away from routines and be still for long periods of time and all those things. And now, through the healing that I've found with osteopathy and with the GAPS diet, which are all things that you do have to kind of go out of your way to do. through those practices, I've achieved a sort of just a higher baseline of stamina and stability where I can travel and teach, which is really wonderful to be able to go into other communities and find the like-minded people and feel. I think if I couldn't travel, I would still be in this like teenage small town mentality of like, you know, it's not here. Like the magic isn't here. And because I can travel, I can see that it's everywhere. And there are a lot more people who believe in the things that I believe in and value the things that I value than I would have ever known if I couldn't travel and teach. And then if I couldn't put on events, basically putting up, being able to put on events and bring those people to San Diego and to the farms and the forests and to be in nature. Like none of that would have been possible before because I was always sick and I was always tired.
Wow. Yeah. That's a big deal to be able to kind of get past that notion of it's elsewhere. It's not here. It's somewhere else. That's huge. And I know I've felt that longing and it's not the easiest one in the world to kind of move through.
Yeah, but we have, I mean, I'm a big fan of the internet and all that it's brought me in terms of visibility into subcultures and groups and communities that I could have never found before. So it's a decent time to be a weirdo on planet Earth.
Yes, definitely. In just a minute, we'll find out what obstacles to self-care Erin encounters. But first, important messages from our awesome sponsors. Sarah Magdalena Love is a web designer, plant witch, podcaster, writer, and all-around small business supporter. As a web designer, Sarah creates beautiful, intentional platforms that are authentic and easy to manage. Sarah's work around course development, tech integration, and branding puts sustainability, accessibility, and sharing from the heart at the center. If you would like some support in these areas, you can learn more about their services, courses, and blog at saramagdalenalove.com. That's SARAHMAGDALENALOVE.com. Make sure to check out the free mini course to help you get started on your branding and web design journey. Also, in their magic making as a plant witch, they are particularly passionate about helping people deepen their self-care through authentic rituals, mutually supportive relationships with plants, and deep reflection with the tarot. Explore Sarah's podcast and blog at daydreamingwolves.com, where you can sign up for a free audio course on plant magic and the tarot. That's daydreamingwolves.com. And now a message from Julie Rhodes, who specializes in writing copy for all marketing and communication needs. Julie says, "It is my service to midwife your message from the inside of you to the outside world. To see your heart song, your story, your truth, and your essence move from your heart, gut, and mind and onto paper or screen is to validate it, to make it real, to show it that you find it, and so yourself, worthy. It sends a clear sign to the world that you have intent. Writing it down is the first step in your momentum forward. What a deeply nourishing transformation. It is my service to write for you. I will listen to you, and I will see the threads take shape inside your thoughts. It is my work to weave these threads together over and through until they become a beautiful and strong weaving of your intention into life. Writing Rhodes is writing you where you want to go. Check out Julie Rhodes at writingrhodes.com. That's writingrhodes.com. Okay, welcome back. So Erin, what obstacles do you encounter in giving yourself self-care and how do you overcome them?
Well, I think there's many every day. They're mostly habits of mind. So my identity is a huge obstacle to giving myself self-care. Even just identities like, I'm young, I shouldn't need this much sleep, or I'm an artist, I should be able to spend 18 hours a day on art and not take breaks to go to the bathroom or stretch or eat or drink water. There's just these ideas that came from God only knows where about what I should and shouldn't be able to demand of my body. And then just, yeah, I think like my growing understanding of my boundaries. I think when I didn't understand what boundaries were, that was a huge obstacle because I was bleeding out all of my energy and time into all of these different things that weren't really a priority to my spirit, and then not having any energy left to go to the grocery store or cook food or even really sit down and eat the food. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. And I know a lot of people can really resonate with that experience of the boundaries, for sure.
Yeah, actually, there's a really specific example of this belief systems and boundaries with time that has really been with me for a really long time, maybe 20 years, was just the realization that I hated taking time out of my flow to shave. And so, and I did it periodically when I felt I had to, but that at some point I really realized this belief that a woman's surface should be smooth and all of her openings should smell like flowers, like that belief was lodged in my mind and was driving me to participate in all of these things that took time and money that I didn't care about at all. And like the minute that I just realized like this is just doesn't belong to me and I'm liberating myself of that, I had 30 to 40 extra minutes every day to do self-care practices.
Wow. Wow. That is definitely a big one. Just curious, did it take you 30 minutes to shave your legs?
I would always cut myself. I'm a quadruple Aries. Like, I don't know. I'm not good with sharp things and, shaving legs and shaving armpits and actually folding laundry. It was like those two combined things that gave me like more than 30 minutes. And like things like buying deodorant and spending money on razors and deodorant. Yeah, all of that adds up.
Yeah, actually, how do you not fold your laundry now?
I don't. I have a system that I've had since college that I'm super proud of, that I have a hanging rack where I hang my nice special things like dresses that I like to look at and I like to touch and play with. And then the rest of them, I just have baskets. So I just sort things and throw all the socks in one and all the underwear in one and all the pants in one and all the shirts in one. So I have these pits and it enables me to, you know, function and find my stuff, but no folding is required.
So I'm curious, how do you overcome your boundary, the boundary obstacle? Like, what helps you really create boundaries that worked for you? Because there's that example, but what, can you tear it apart, tease it apart a little bit more for us?
Yeah, my feeling is that there's a feedback loop of boundaries and self-care where if you're doing any other kinds of self-love work, self-acceptance work, self-awareness work, mindfulness work, you're developing your ability to be mindful of where you're at in any given moment. And so then when you're talking to other people, you slowly over time develop a muscle for articulating authentically. And because you're aware of your needs as they're arising in the moment. So if someone might say something to you or ask you to do something that seems really easy and like, sure, you know, they're a nice person. They've done a lot for me. I should say yes to that. That would be a good idea because I'm trying to promote this part of my business or that part of my business right now. So I should say yes to that. But you're able to catch yourself doing and that feeling of obligation in your body and actually in real time just say no versus saying yes out of a certain momentum and then having all the accompanying like ugh feeling that everything is harder and like you're trudging uphill, spending energy on stuff that's not important to you. And so then the more that you do that, you are, it's like you're harvesting time, you're creating time. Yeah, the more you say no, the more time you create for things that are a priority for you. And if self-care has maybe not been a priority, but you know that it should be, the only way to move it up your list is to say no to other stuff that has been a priority before. I just wanted to add, in case it wasn't clear, the part about what makes it a feedback loop is that, like, the more you have boundaries and say no, then the more time you have for things that are really important, like self-care. And then the more time you spend on self-care, the more you get to know yourself and get to know what it feels like to feel good. And then you don't want to give that up. So then you say no with less apology, and you become less and less apologetic for your needs and your way of being. And so just each one feeds each other, and you get into this feedback loop of self-love. Yeah.
Doesn't everyone want to be there? I mean, hearing about it is just like, yes, please put me in that feedback loop.
Yeah.
Thanks for outlining that and making it super clear. That was definitely insightful. And I know somebody out there is having a light bulb moment or getting that inspiration to finally say yes to saying no.
I love that. Say yes to saying no. That's totally that's the energy. It's not like we're not resisting things, and it's not like getting out the sword and be like, no, no. It's like you're saying yes to yourself.
So what are some of the signs that you experience that show you it's time to give yourself some self-care, or that you've maybe kind of slipped behind on your practice?
I would say that because I am always paying attention to a lot of different things, and listening on a lot of different levels, listening to my body is actually a huge challenge. And so I tend to not really get the message until it's gotten all the way down to the point of pain in my body, unfortunately. So it's usually like an excruciating pain in my hip that just feels like I can't walk, that'll just come on suddenly and just be like, stop everything and pay attention to me, pay attention to your body. And then I'll also get a kind of fascia contraction that feels like a hand twisting and yanking on the back of my heart, that won't go away until I stop everything and like spend, you know, the whole night or a couple days on just listening to what my body wants and only doing what my body wants.
So then once you hear those signs, or even before you hear those signs, just as part of your regular practice, what makes up your actual self-care practice? And if you have one, what is the main idea that your approach to self-care is rooted in?
I think my main self-care practice is that about a year ago, I committed to the GAPS diet, which is a intestinal healing protocol that takes 18 months to 3 years. And so it was a really big commitment, and it really did require me changing everything about my priorities, my relationships, the way that I manage my time, the way I think about myself. I thought of myself as like not a cooking person, as if that could be a thing. That's the biggest one, because it does require like many hours a day spent in procuring and preparing and cooking and eating and cleaning up and doing it all over again immediately when it ends. And
hence your deep freeze.
Yes, it makes my life a lot easier. And then also another really, really big one for me is giving myself permission to need as much rest as I need. So my energy is the rhythm of my energy is very unusual. And I have huge bursts of energy that are very intense, and I have to channel. It's a lot of like work to channel into constructive, creative things. And then I'm really very tired, and I sleep for 12, even 14 hours sometimes. And I tried for a long time. I used to sleep a normal sleep schedule before I had my son. And then the process of becoming a mother just put me in this other domain where that was just gone. And I tried everything. And I went to so many elder medicine women and healers to try to help put me back in that box of being able to dance in linear time with other people, and no one could do it. And so the answer that finally came was just like, you're a cat now. Just, there's no problem. You're just a cat now. So sleep for as long as you need to, then be awake when you're awake, do your thing when you have the energy for it. And when you don't, just close your eyes and fall asleep wherever you are for however you need, long you need to. So that's a really big one, because most people have a problem with that. You know, they're like, oh, you're being lazy, or you're not validating me because you're yawning right now, or you're going to leave early to go to sleep, or you're over there in the corner asleep. So it takes a lot of self-love and strength and articulation of my boundaries to really give myself that. And then I do have a daily sadhana that's a tantric mantra practice that really stabilizes my emotions and psychology so that I can do my work with others in the world.
And do you do that in the morning?
You actually don't. There are times of day for each goddess. Each sadhana kind of has a time of day that you're meant to do it. But again, my sleep rhythms come first, and I tend to be like sleeping during some of those times of day. So my priestess temple maintenance self-care practices, it always happens at night. My son goes to bed at 8 o'clock. And so from 8 o'clock till about 3 in the morning, I'm alone. And that's when I do my writing. That's when I edit my podcasts. That's when I update my website and respond to emails. That's when I cook. That's when I do my mantra practice, is, you know, in the middle of the night when all the world is quiet and I can really focus.
Aha, aha. And then what would you say is your main idea to self-care rooted in? Is there a certain approach to your self-care?
Yeah, I actually have this little story in my head I'll make a video of it one day. It's like a stop motion animation of a little village of creatures, and they're all the same size, and there's one creature that's always like eating all the food at the table, and everyone's always looking at them and rolling their eyes and being like, that one's so selfish. And then one day, like, you know, aliens descend on the little village, and that one like tears off their skin and becomes like 50 times bigger than everyone else and defends them all against the aliens. And then the last scene is like everyone sitting down at the table and everyone pushing like an extra portion of food over to that one. This is the image. And it's basically just saying, like, you don't know how much another person needs because you don't know what they're doing with their energy on other levels. We're all multidimensional beings. There's parallel timelines. There's so much going on that we're devoting our energy to or supporting. And even in a more practical sense, like maybe somebody is going through a divorce or has a child who's getting heart surgery, and you don't know the demands that their life circumstances are putting on their endocrine system and what their needs are. So you really just have to trust people that to be the ambassador and expert on their needs. And you don't have to meet them. You can say no, but just this sense of allowing yourself and allowing other people to need however much they think they need to be well.
And that kind of ties in with my next question, which is, if there's one thing that listeners get from this conversation we're having, what would you like that to be?
Oh, One thing. Yeah, it's really, that's exactly it, is you, everyone's different, and your needs are sacred guides to your soul's path and being on purpose in this life. And so the less shame that you feel around having a feeling or having a need, and the more skill that you go out of your way to develop around articulating those needs in really clear and constructive ways with other people, the better off I think you could be.
Makes life a lot easier for yourself too when you're not worrying about everyone else.
And I think, like, once you, yes, totally, but, and also I would add for me that it definitely starts with just, yeah, worry about your own needs and go from there. But then once you do feel a certain level of satiation in your life and the feeling of being resourced, then you become that person that actually can have a little bit of extra thoughtfulness to ask someone else, like, hey, what are your needs in this for this relationship? And maybe no one's ever asked them that before.
Ugh, what a gift. Totally. So we'll find out some of Aaron's favorite things right after these important messages from our sponsors. Hello, this is Natalie here. With the Self-Care Club podcast, I'm hoping to inspire you to become more aware of your own self-care needs and to start giving yourself permission and space to practice nourishing self-care on a regular basis. And something that is so important for my own self-care practice is being in community and spending time with others who really get me. That's why I'm creating an actual self-care club that you can join and become a member of. I know y'all are busy, so I want to make it super simple, fun, and affordable for you. That's why I've set this self-care club membership up as a series of monthly live online workshops and get-togethers featuring super amazing teachers and guests. Each month, we will gather in a live online session to learn from these special guests and do a question and answer where you can ask them anything. I'm keeping this self-care club membership super simple to begin with. This will allow room for the club to grow in the ways that the members are most in need of support and connection. So if you want to learn more and be the first to know when the membership for the self-care club will be offered, go to selfcareclub.net and put in your email address to get on the list. When you do that, you'll also receive free access to a recording of a live Q&A call I did with my students in the Wealthy Women online course earlier this year. The Wealthy Women students said these calls alone were worth double the price of the entire course, and now I'm sharing the recording from one of those calls with you for free. So go to selfcareclub.net and sign up to get these free Q&A recordings and to be the first to know when the Self-Care Club membership opens up. That's selfcareclub.net. Okay, you ready for some of your favorite things in this flash round we got going on?
Yes.
Okay, what is your favorite nourishing snack?
A fried egg with sauerkraut.
Yum. And even though you have this extremely restrictive and healthy nourishing diet, are there any guilty pleasure snacks or foods that you enjoy?
It's not that restrictive. You just have to make everything yourself. But I really, when I don't feel like doing that, I will sometimes stand in the kitchen and shovel flax crackers with goat cheese and honey into my mouth.
What is your favorite form of exercise?
Dance. Exorcism, so dancercism.
What is your favorite stress-relieving activity?
Sleep and chanting and sex.
Mm-hmm. What are some of your favorite creative outlets?
Writing, singing, making experiences, like creating group rituals for women and sex. Yeah.
What would you say to your past self, knowing what you know now?
Oh, I really want to. Yeah, I wanted to tell her to chill out. That a lot of the hardship is not your fault. Nothing that you could do is going to change some of these circumstances. You're just going to have to live through them. So you might as well give yourself a break and smoke more weed.
Where do you go to connect with community?
Definitely in the temple is my deepest place of connection with family and tribe. And then in the kitchens of my sisters who are also, bringing people together and having community farm days and cooking food and just being together.
Awesome. What's your favorite type of nature?
Definitely mountains, mountain forests, with streams, but places with big old growth trees.
Thank you so much. So if listeners want to learn more about you, they can check out your interview that we did on Dream Freedom Beauty. It's episode 72, and we go quite in depth about some things about you and your life and your approach to life. So I think feel free to check that out. But I want you to also share where they can find you online and what are you offering.
So my website is called activeculturefamily.com, and that's where you can find all of the collaborations and events and our regular local monthly activities that you can participate in. And that's also where you can find information about our Medicine Mandala Green Magic Apprenticeship, which is really the place where all of our offerings are coming together in an extended way, where people can take a longer journey to really root into some of the practices and teachings. Yeah.
Cool. And that's activeculturefamily.com. Y'all go check it out. All right. Well, thank you so much, Erin, for taking the time to come on the show and for sharing some of your self-care practices and approaches.
Thank you, Natalie. Blessings.
Thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed this pilot episode of the Self-Care Club podcast. And if you want to be the first to know when the podcast launches and when the membership club opens its doors, then head over to selfcareclub.net and sign up. And you'll also get that free recording from a live question answer session we did with a super special guest back in the spring of 2017. My students at the time said this was worth more than double the price they paid for the entire course. And I am giving this to you for free when you sign up for the list. You may have noticed that this pilot episode of the Self-Care Club has sponsors. Yes, it's true. Each Dream Freedom Beauty episode reaches about 5,000 people within weeks of airing, and I expect that the Self-Care Club will start with and quickly surpass these numbers as well. If you have an offering or have a business that is in service to the conscious, smart audience that has grown in response to the Dream Freedom Beauty podcast, then I invite you to become a sponsor of this new Self-Care Club podcast. Not only will you reach thousands of people who are open to what you offer, but you'll also be helping to produce these shows and keep these podcasts free to any and all who might benefit from listening to them. If you serve this type of audience, this is a great opportunity to reach them. I can imagine people offering physical products, services, ranging from healing and coaching to copywriting and design, and art and music. I'm open to whatever it is you might want to share with this audience, so long as it is not an MLM-based business. I'm offering special introductory rates for sponsorship until December 7th, 2017, after which the rates will rise. So get in touch with me through selfcareclub.net/ads to learn more about how you can sponsor the production of this show and get in front of thousands of people who are your exact ideal audience. Thank you again for listening. And I will see you when the Self-Care Club podcast launches in just a few weeks. And I will see you in that actual membership club when it launches, when it opens its doors in late December and early January, so you can start your year off right, to begin with nourishing self-care practices that give you the best year yet. Go to selfcareclub.net to sign up and be in the know of when it's all going down.